Tresham Sefta Shavuos Daf Hey. We'll begin on Daf Dalar Mabeis, 9 lines from the bottom. Amalei Ravina Lameimer. Just to quickly review we were up to. In the previous Shiurim, we've tried to identify who is the Tana of our Mishnah. Is it Rabbi Shmuel or is it Rabbi Kiva? And the Gemara identified a problem. Because if we're going to say it's Rabbi Kiva, then the halacha of Shavuos, that Yechayiv both for Shavuos that made in the future or in the past, clearly is not Rabbi Kiva's opinion. On the other hand, the halacha of Tumah, that Yechayiv Karbonayil V'yared, not only in a situation where you forgot that you're Tumah, but also in a situation where you didn't realize that what you're eating is Kodesh, or what you're going into is the base of Migdash, Yechayiv Karbonayil V'yared, doesn't represent the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So how do we understand our Mishnah? So the Gemara and Daftal Ramban Aleph from the bottom suggested that Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah, and Rebbe disputes Rabbi Kiva regarding Shvua, regarding Tumamim, and disputes Rabbi Shmuel regarding Shvuos. And he chose every opinion. So how we know Rebbe doesn't agree with Rabbi Kiva regarding Tumah, the Braisa, starting at the bottom of Dalar Amal Aleph, going up to Dalar Amal Beis, was explicit. Well, we have Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rebbe. Rebbe clearly not agreeing with Rabbi Kiva. How do we know that Rebbe doesn't agree with Rabbi Shmuel regarding the question of Shvua? So the Gemara said, because the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva regarding the question, are you chayv kamen oil v'yoyred, not only for Shvuas into the future that the Torah speaks about explicitly, but also for Shvuas in the past, is based on another machlokes. Machlokes that affects all of Torah. How do you look at a pasuk? Do we look at it as a klal or prat or klal? Do we look at it as a ribi miyat ribui? And if we look at it as a ribi miyat ribui, you'll be chayv for Shvuas in the past. And the Gemara said that indeed, even though we don't know Rebbe saying this regarding Hilchos Shvua, but the last Gemara we learned yesterday, we see clearly Rebbe learning that way regarding what can be used to be part of the Bechor is an indication that Rebbe is of the opinion we follow the Rebbe Meet Rebbe approach, and therefore he will concur with Rebbe Kiva regarding Hilchos Shvua. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravina Lameima, is that true? The Rebbe Dorosh Ribi Miti, the Rebbe given the choice of looking at a pasuk as a Ribi Miti Ribui versus looking at it as a Klal Prada Klal, will prefer to use the Ribi Miti Ribui approach? Says the Mardan, we see from other areas that Rebbe, the Rebbe Klal Prati Dorosh, Rebbe follows the Klal Prada Klal approach. Where do we see it? The Torah speaks about a person who sold as an Eved Ivri. And an Eved Ivri, we know, is a sold for 6 years. But the Torah teaches us that if the person who is sold as an Eved Ivri chooses to remain, the Torah says, so the Torah speaks about how, making a hole in his ear. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Tanya, Matzeya, only Ella Matzeya, I would think only a drill could be used to make that hole. Menayin l'rabbis ha-sul vasira. Sul vasira is either a piece of wood or a thorn. Hamachet is a needle. Mekadech is another type of a sharp instrument. Mekadech is a writing instrument. Tamaloymer, kol l'kachta, kol davish nilkach bayad. Anything that can be taken in your hand, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, could be used. What can't be used according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Sam, take some acid and make a hole in the ear with acid, won't work. That's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Rabbi on the other hand says, Matzeya, ma matzeya miyuchet shal matchis, af kol shal matchis. No, you could only use a metal instrument. So we have in Machloikis, what can be used to make the ear, to make the hole in the ear? And the Gemara says, v'maykum mafgi, what is the basis of the machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, says the Rebbe Darsh Kali Prati. Rebbe prefers to learn the pasuk as a klal prat a klal. And as I said in the previous year, when you learn with the klal prat a klal approach, you're going to have a much more limited application. And that's why Rebbe indeed says you could only use a matzeya, a metal drill. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, who has a larger group of items that can be used to make the hole, because he takes the Rebbe Meir approach. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, Dorish Rebbe Meuti. So here we see that Rebbe follows the klal prat a klal approach. So we have a very big kasha. We said that what's the raya? The Rebbe follows the approach of Rebbe Kiva regarding Hilchos Shvuos, because Rebbe follows the klal prat, the Rebbe Meir Rebbe approach, which is the basis for Rebbe Kiva's psak that includes Chiv Shvuos for the Kavan Oil of Yoyer for the past. But here we see that he doesn't follow the klal prat approach. He doesn't follow the Rebbe Meir Rebbe approach. He follows the klal prat klal approach. Answers the Gemara in Ba'al Meklal Prat Darish. Given all things being equal, Rebbe follows the klal prat approach. V'hocha Hainatama. So if we have, so now we're back to where we started. Why over here would Rebbe concur with Rebbe Kiva, which is based on the Rebbe Meir approach, if now he's saying that he follows the klal prat klal approach? Answers the Gemara, because here it's different. K'tana Ve'er Shmuel, as we learned in the Braisa of Yishmol. The Tana de Beir of Yishmol. We learned in the Braisa of Yishmol. Just to read the Psukim. The Torah says, Ezot toichlu mikol asher b'mayim, this type of creatures that swim in the water may be eaten. Kol shloi snapper kankasus b'mayim b'yamim u'b'necholim oysa techeli. So if we read this, so let's just first explain the Pasuk Pshat. Here the Torah is teaching us, the halacha that we're all very well familiar, that the only fish that are kosher, the only aquatic creatures that are kosher, are those that have fins and scales. Everybody knows that rule. But if we learn the Pasuk has two klolim and a prat. The Pasuk says the word b'mayim twice. Again, as that toichlim kol asher b'mayim, kol asher nostapim b'keses b'mayim. Those are two general words. But the Torah also has a prat. What is the prat? The yamim u'b'necholim. But it's a very interesting phenomena here. The Torah has two klolim, but usually the way a klal prat klal works is first you have a klal, then you have a prat, then you have a klal. Here you have a klal, klal, and then the prat. So it says the Gemara, the Tanur Rebbe Shmuel, b'mayim shnei pamim, since the Torah uses the word b'mayim twice, the two klolim, and then the prat, says Rabbi Shmuel, it should not be treated as a klal prat. It should not be treated as a klal prat. It should be treated as a Rebbe Meir. As a Rebbe Meir. Meaning, even though normally Rabbi Shmuel agrees, given such a situation, we should treat it like a klal prat a klal, here we should treat it as a Rebbe Meir Rebbe. Rabbanan Amar Avina, Kramri Marava, as the, we learned in at Yisrael, Kam Makom Shatamotz Shnei Klolos Hasmucha Zulazu. Whenever you find two klolim, klal klal, and then a prat, Hatel Prat by Neim, don't look at it as a klal klal prat, but understand that the prat belongs between two klolim, V'donim b'klal prat. Treat it as a klal prat. So now let's understand. First, let's understand this rule. Let's go one point at a time. Number one, we're learning that whenever we have such a situation, we treat it as we should treat it as a Rebbe Miut, or we should treat it as a klal prat a klal. What is the practical nafkamina regarding the question of what fish may be eaten? Everybody is in agreement that if you have these aquatic creatures, I want to avoid the word fish, that develop in water that's stagnant, everybody agrees, there's no thing that I have to have fins and scales. Rabban and Rabbi Shmuel agree. Machloikis is, let's say you have ditches next to your ocean, ditches that the water flows in them. And you have these creatures that don't have fins and scales, what will be the halacha regarding those creatures? The one that learns with a Rebbe Meir Rebbe, says that they too will not be kosher. The one that learns it with a klal, a prat, a klal, will say that they too may be eaten. That is the machlokes if you learn it with a ribi meat ribui, versus if you learn it with a klal, a prat, a klal. And the Gemara is saying that even though normally Rebbe follows the klal, a prat approach, where there's two klalim next to each other, he follows the ribi meat approach. So let's think through. First, let's learn Pashto and the Gemara. So we had actually a stira. The last Gemara we learned yesterday, the din of pidyon aben, Rebbe was following the ribi meat approach. The first Gemara we had today, by Matseya, Rebbe was learning the klal prat klal approach. How do we reconcile it? The answer is, the Rebbe is a proponent of the klal prat klal approach, except when the two klalim are next to each other. And that's why, in the case of the fish, the two klalim are next to each other, Rebbe, as the Tanya Berei Bishmal says, we follow the klal prat klal approach, whereas, and that's the same by Bechor, again, to read the pasuk by Bechor, there too, it's a case where the two klolim are next to each other. Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ufuduya ben chodesh tifta ve'erkecha kesef chamesh shkolim b'shekel chodesh esrim geirim hashekel." So here too, we have the pasuk of tifta twice, ufuduya tifta, and then only the Torah speaks about what kind of coinage. So again, it's a case of klal klal. When you have the two klalim together, there Rebbe says we should use a ribi meat ribi approach. Anywhere else, he'll subscribe to the klal klal approach. So we've defined Rebbe so far. We'll come back to Rebbe soon. Just to explain this machloikus a little, that we have now machloikus between Rebbe Shmuel and the Rabbanan. When the two klalim are next to each other, do we treat it as a ribi meat ribui, even if we normally treat everything like a klal prat klal, or do we teach it as a klal prat klal? So I saw two approaches in the Achroinim as to what is the basis of the Machlokes. Dor Sameach says that the way to understand it is that if the two klolim next to each other, don't treat it like a klal prat klal, says Rabbi Shmuel, rather treat it like a prat klal prat. A prat klal prat is very broad. Rabbanim say it's still klal prat klal. The Chasam Sofer has a little more of a lomdish approach. When you have a klal prat klal, so he asks, what is the main klal, the first klal or the second klal? If you say that the first klal is the main klal, so it doesn't make a difference that it's klal, klal, or prat, or it's klal, prat, or klal. We're looking at the first klal. And the first klal hasn't changed whether there's a klal after it or prat afterwards. If we say that's the second klal, which is the crucial klal, so now if the second klal appears before the prat, it changes the entire dimension of the slimut. Ask the Ritva, and many Mefarshim ask this question. If Rabbi Shmuel, it's the same Rabbi Shmuel that we say every morning, that says the Shlosh Esrei Midras, and doesn't teach it, he teaches about a klal prat a klal. We don't see Rabbi Shmuel teaching us that when you have a klal klal prat, don't treat it like a klal prat a klal, treat it like a ribui meat ribui. So we shouldn't say every morning Shlosh Esrei Midras. We should say Av Esrei Midras. We got a new one. Where is it? So Ritva says that in the general rule of klal prat klal, this is included in the general category that's already mentioned, klal prat klal. It's a chiddush, because it's very different. Others say that Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanit Berei Shmuel that we say every morning aren't the same person. So the Gemara here is speaking about Tanit Berei Shmuel, but that's not the same author of the brayse that's said every morning. Another teretz that I saw is that we're trying to avoid machloikis. That's one of the reasons that brisa's quote we said in the morning. We want to say a brisa that doesn't have any dispute in it. But this case that we're speaking about now, klal klal prat, how it should be treated as a klal prat a klal, or it should be treated as a ribi miyut ribui, is a machlokes between Tanan Berei Bishmol and Rabbanan. We don't want to start the day with machlokes. So we avoid this subject. Right, that's why Ezra Makom is also the Mishnah that's quoted, because that's the machlokes in it. One more question. There are really many more, but we'll mention one more point. Somebody asked me, as I was mentioning this, we started learning this sugya of klal prat klal, why is it a legitimate derech halimut? Don't we have a rule, ein mugdam u'mu'cha b'Torah, that the order of things in the Torah aren't definite? So we're building around the fact that it's a klal prat klal. So how do we build around it? Ein mugdam u'mu'cha b'Torah. The answer is, that even though Ein Mugdam U'Mu'cha B'Torah, that's only in one, that's only in two subjects. But we're dealing with one subject Of course, the order of the Torah is very specific. Ask the Mefarshim if that's the way to understand our Gemara. We have a very big problem with the opinion of the Rabbanim. What did Rabbanim say? We have klal klal uprat. Don't treat it like a klal klal prat. Hatl prat beinayim. Take the prat and move it in between the klalim. But now we said that the order in one subject is so definite. So how did I have a right to maneuver that? So the Rishayim answer that even though normally in one subject we have no right to maneuver, we have when we have no choice, then we may. And that's what the Rabbanim is saying. You have klal klal prat. The Torah is trying to teach us something. Even though it's in one subject, we may maneuver and put the prat between the two klalim. But now, we're back to where we started. We said that Rebbe quoted Rebbe Kiva's opinion in our Mishnah regarding Shavuos, because Rebbe follows Rebbe Kiva's opinion, because Rebbe follows the Rebbe Meir approach. But we just proved that Rebbe, under normal circumstances, really follows the klal prat klal approach, unless the two klalim are next to each other. So now we're back to started. Hash dam Rebbe klal prat darish. Now that we say the Rebbe usually uses the klal prat klal approach, so why did he quote Rebbe Kiva's opinion? Why do you quote Rebbe Kiva's opinion by Shavuos? He doesn't subscribe to that approach, answers the Gemara. Shavuos not leave Rebbe Kiva. He quoted Rebbe Kiva's approach, even though he personally doesn't agree with Rebbe Kiva. So why did he mention it? One pshat is, because most of the B'nai Yeshiva followed Rebbe Kiva's approach, and he was ready to follow their approach, even though he personally didn't agree. Another pshat that I saw, a very nice pshat. We spoke about this a lot, we're looking to determine different situations of Shtayim Shein Arba. And Rebbe's trying to put together as an exhaustive of a list as possible. So even though he personally doesn't agree that that's the halacha, but according to Rebbe Kiva, we have another example of Shtayim Shein Arba, which is very much the point of our Mishnah, to bring all the Shtayim Shein Arba situations. So even though he personally doesn't subscribe to it, when he wanted to make a complete list, he included it. Gufa, says the Gemara. Menayim. Shein Achayiv. We learned this Gemara in the previous year also. How do we know that to be chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrit, you're only chayiv when that he was aware before and he was aware afterwards? The helm v'netayim, just going back to Hilchas Tuma, Tamaloymer, v'nelam shnei pam de Rebbe Kiva. So Rebbe Kiva used the fact that Torah used the words v'nelam twice to teach us this halacha, that you're chayiv only where you know you were tamei, you forgot you were tamei and you ate kodesh and then you ate migdash, and then you became aware of your aveira. That's when you chayiv carbon oil of a yoyrit. That's Rebbe Kiva's opinion. Rebbe Yoyman Rebbe says, I don't need the word v'nelam twice to teach me that halacha. Why? Because the Torah uses the word v'nelam. What is the definition of the word v'nelam? Says Rebbe Shmuel. Rebbe, what it means is v'nelam mechlal shiyodah. That he nelam means you forgot. You only could forget what you knew. And then the pasuk also used the words v'yodah. So you already have the Torah teaching us that you have two yediyas. One before you did the aveira, and one after you did the aveira. So we have one v'nelam, according to Rebbe, which is superfluous. Im kei ma tam v'nelam, why does the Torah use the word v'nelam again? To teach us that not only are you chayiv when you forgot that you were tameh, but even when chayiv, when you forgot Helam Tumah v'Helam Mikdash, that you forgot that what you're eating is Kodesh, or where you entered is the Beis HaMikdash. Amamar. So now Rebbe taught us a very important lesson. He says, wherever the Torah uses the words v'nelam, it means Mechal Shiyoda, that he knew and he forgot. My Mashma. Why? Why would we explain it that way? So Rebbe explains, Midiksiv, if the Torah didn't mean to say that he knew and forgot, what the Torah should have used is the words of Hialuma Mimenu. The fact that the Torah uses the word v'nelam is a clear indication that he knew and forgot. Ask the Gemara. So now we learned taich. Now we learned how to define a word. That whenever we see the word v'nelam in the Torah, how should we define it? That he knew and forgot. Amle Bayos, let's look at these words in the Torah. El Me'ata. We all remember the Parsha Soita. The Parsha Soita is a woman whose husband accuses her of having an adulterous relationship. And then he did kinui. He warned her not to seclude herself with that man. And he did stira, that she was secluded with that man. The halacha is that he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, goes through a whole process with the water, how it's erased, and the Beis Soiter tell us if she's pure or not. Now the Torah used the words, Vanela me'eni isha. What does vanela mean? He knew and forgot. We just said that's what it means. Mechlal, the word vanela means davi yodami karam. Mechlal is Rashi and Tosfos, what does it mean that he knew? Rashi seems to learn that he knew that she was Soiser, that she secluded herself. Tosfos learns that she knew that she was Tameh. But whatever we learned, if we say the word vanela, means Vinelam davayodim yikara, that he had knowledge. Ask the Gemara if that's what the pasuk means. So I have a yada, if he knew, bibat klamaya, would the water then be effective? Doesn't the Torah say v'tava tanya v'niko ishma oven v'ishi itisa savana? And the Gemara Masechta Sota teaches us b'zman she'ishma nukim oven, when the man himself is an innocent individual. That's when Hamayim Boit Kenes Ishtoi, the water is effective. Ein Ishma Nukim Oven, if the man is not innocent, Ein Hamayim Boit Kenes Ishtoi. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is as follows. If the Torah says Vanelam, it means that he knew. And then he forgot. Well, he forgot that he knew she had a relationship, an adulterous relationship, or he knew that he had Stira. And then he forgot. If he forgot, so the Machlokes is again how to learn. If he forgot and they're a married couple, he's probably going to have relations with her. Because as Mepharshim say, a husband is obligated to have relations with his wife. But if he had relations with her after she was Tamei, or even after she had Stira, he's not innocent. Because a man is not allowed to have relations with his wife when she had an adulterous relationship or after Stira. So the water won't work. So how could it be that the Torah is teaching us, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and do this whole process? Other Rishonim explained the Gemara, that even if he didn't have relations with her, because we can't be certain that they had relations, the fact that he forgot means that he's not a responsible individual. If you forgot that your wife had an adulterous relationship, or you forgot that your wife had Stira, even if for whatever reason you didn't have a relationship with her, you can't be considered an innocent individual, that the Torah should tell us that the Mayim worked for her. So if the word vanilla, asked the Gemara, always means that you knew and you forgot, how are we going to understand it here? This halacha of Bizman She'ish Menukim Oven, that's when the water works, otherwise it doesn't work. There's some beautiful Divrei Torah in understanding this. First of all, the Mepharshim say, why indeed is it that not only is she analyzed, so to speak, but also he? The Torah uses the words Behevi Es Ishtai. What does it say Es? To teach us not only the Ishtai, but even he who is examined. Why? So Mepharshim asks, why? If she did something wrong, what's the difference to what he is? So I saw two different pshatim. One pshat I saw from Rabbi Tzadik. He says a very deep pshat. He says, and we've spoken about this concept previously, there's a very big difference between din shamayim, the din that Hashem does, and the din that we human beings do. When we have a person who did something wrong in front of us in court, so Beis Din does what they have to do, whatever the punishment the Torah prescribes. But sometimes when we give this person punishment, it's not only he who suffers. His family suffers. His friends suffer. And they didn't do anything wrong. But we human beings have no way of changing that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only look at the guilty party. He looks at the round and around. And therefore, the Torah is saying, this woman, maybe she did the wrong thing. But if her husband isn't so great, that's taken into consideration when the punishment is given. That's how I saw Rabbi Tzadik explains. But I saw from Cheskel Levenstein, also a beautiful pshat. He bases it on a Ramban. He says that actually, when a person, that this whole parasha of Soita is a very bechidish, says the Ramban. You drink some water, that you erase the piece of paper, and a stomach bursts. It's a nice. Who is worthy, says the Ramban, Reb Cheskel says, that a nace should happen to him? Somebody who he himself is an innocent party. But if you yourself ain't a ish menukim oven, you're not an innocent party? Such a nace should happen through you? Can't be. There's a beautiful word from the Gra. The Torah, in the parasha of Asaita,
says, "Ish kedosh v'lo yiyah."
And we all remember Rashi in Parashas Nosai. Rashi says that if somebody holds back giving trumas and maizras, doesn't give the kohen what he deserves, he's going to end up bringing his wife as a saita to the Beis HaMikdash. And all the mefarshim say, what's the connection? So the Gros has a very deep part. The Gros says like this: we know that somebody who doesn't give trumas and maizras, what is the punishment that they give him in Shemayim? That he loses his money. His income keeps on dropping. Says the Gros. This wife sees the husband's income dropping. She doesn't realize it because of the Gemaisa. There's another pasuk. The Roya Zainus Yoivet Hainan. Somebody who acts immorally also loses his money. So she assumes, you know why my husband's income is dropping? Because he's not acting morally. So I have nothing to worry about acting immorally because he's not Manukama Oven. And therefore she starts acting immorally. This is Kedosh Vloyia. It all began because he didn't give Trumas and Maestros, that his wife should feel more comfortable in acting improperly. Ask the Gemara another question. The Su, there's a pasuk in Eiv, Gabatayr Diksiv. V'nelma me'ena kochai, oif ha'shmaim nistur. The Torah is hidden from us. Does that mean? We're saying that the word v'nelma means that you knew and you forgot. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? Look, see, there's another pasuk in Eiv that says lo yada inish arka. Nobody can understand all of the Torah. Ella, says the Gemara, amabaya, kesavir Rebbe. V'nelma doesn't mean that you knew. Rebbe is of the new opinion. Rebbe is of the opinion, Yediyah space Rabbi Shema Yediyah. Rebbe is of the opinion that if you learn something in yeshiva, and there's going to be, I'm going to say a number of pshatim how to understand this, that's enough to have Yediyah. Not that he knew he was Tamei. Didn't know he was Tamei. So Rashi explains that he learned in yeshiva that if somebody's Tamei, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash or Yikaidish. He learned the halachos of Tama, but he didn't put it all together. And as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains, that here the issue is, there was no simas halev. He didn't put it all together. Other Rishonim say that he learned the hilchas tuma, but he didn't learn the halacha. He learned that a person is tummy, but he didn't learn the halacha, what, that somebody's tummy may not eat kodesh or go into the base of Migdash. Others say that he learned that somebody's tummy may go into the base, may go into the base of Migdash or eat kodesh, but he didn't realize how somebody becomes tummy. But he did have some sort of background. That's what the halama here is. Ksava Rebbe, Yediyah space Rabbi Shema Yediyah. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rapap Labaya, El Adiktani, we learned in our very Mishnah, that there's a possibility to have an individual, that ain't by Yediyah B'tchila, that doesn't have an original Yediyah, didn't know before, V'yesh B'deyah B'sof. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that Yediyah means that you went to yeshiva, and you learned this halacha, so who isn't in that category? How could you have an individual? Miyika the less lo yidi beis rabbo. How do we have such an individual? Amlei in. Mishkach to batinik shnish b'lebein anachar. A person who was nebuch, brought up not amongst Jews, he didn't have a yeshiva background. That's why he's considered an individual that ain't by yidiyah. Everybody else, we have a very broad application now of yidiyah, betchila. That means as long as we learned in yeshiva, that's considered yidiyah betchila. So the Ritva asks, and what about a person who's amaretz? He wasn't a tinnik shenish, but he's just an amaretz. Why doesn't the Gemara include him? So Ritva says a very sharp word. He says amaretz is not an excuse. Somebody who was never a tinnik shenish, but he has an excuse that he didn't go to yeshiva. Amaretz is not an excuse. He's a rasha. But our Gemara is teaching us a tremendous lesson, and the Devar Chaim has a tshuva based on this Gemara. The Gemara here is limiting your excuse. You would say, I forgot. I went to yeshiva 40 years ago. I forgot everything I learned. And still that's considered Yediyah B'tchila? He says, absolutely it's considered Yediyah B'tchila. Where does this come up? A question was asked of the Devar Chaim. There was a community that had a mikveh. Every community is supposed to have a mikveh. And there was somebody supposedly checking the mikveh all the time to make sure it was a kosher mikveh. And after years and years of the mikveh being used, it was discovered that the mikveh was never a kosher mikveh. And people, couples, use this mikveh for a very long time. And there's a shayla of a chiv karis if she's a nida, if she didn't go to the mikveh properly. So the question was asked at the Devar Chaim, did these people do anything wrong? They relied on the mikveh, they relied on the hechsher. So the Devar Chaim says, absolutely. He says, our Gemara is teaching us that the ability of using an excuse is extremely limited. The horaya, you learned in yeshiva, I don't know how many years ago, and maybe your Rebbe said something, that's considered a yediyah. says the Rechaim here too, it's considered Yediyah. Why? Because if you had the opportunity to check on your own, and not just say, well, the rabbi said it's a kosher mikvah, it's good enough. That's not good enough. You have to check on your own. And otherwise, you're not considered an oinish, you're considered a shogeg. He discusses that it's not for now what these people should do. They use the mikvah all the time. They had children. They thought that they were doing the right thing. What kind of kapara? The Ramban goes, the Mefarshim quote Ramban that actually say that a kapara is an opportunity. A kapara is not a, we said this concept here. It's not a punishment, it's an opportunity if you did something wrong. And that's all part of this same concept. The Rogachava also makes a very interesting observation of this Gemara. He says, if you learn this Gemara, it seems to be sort of contradictory. On one hand, the Gemara is saying, Yediyah space rabbi, you went to yeshiva once, it's already enough that you considered that you have Yediyah. And then on the other hand, the Gemara says, nobody knows any Torah. So what is it? The Gemara says, is there anybody that knows all of the Torah? Here we're saying, just going to yeshiva and learning once in your life, you're already Talmud Chacham. You consider Yediyah betchila. And here it says, nobody knows all of the Torah. So he explains there are two concepts in Torah. There's a concept of knowing Kol HaTorah Kula. Nobody is in that category. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even in that category. But then there's a concept, a halachic concept of Yediyah Betchila. Yediyah Betchila has a very limited definition, and as long as you had Yediyah's based rabbi, it's considered to have Yediyah. We learned the next case in the Mishnah. Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shin Arba. So Gemara says we have a very similar Mishnah Masech to Shabbos. Tanan Hosam. Yitzias HaShabbos, but there the Mishnah says differently. Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shin Arba Fnim, V'Shtayim Shin Arba B'chutz. The three pshatim how to learn the Mishnah Masech to Shabbos. Rashi here explains that the Mishnah means as follows. We know there's a concept of achnosa, we know there's a concept of etzol. Achnosa means from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid. Etzol means from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabbim. Furthermore, Tiva Mechayiv Daraisa, you have to have, we learned this beginning of Masech to Shabbos, you have to have a Nekira and a Hanocha to be Chayiv. Tzayim Shen Arba means for doing achnosa, carrying from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid. So we spoke about the person standing outside the Oni. He could have a Chiv Deraisa. He picked something up outside and deposited inside. Or the person inside could have some a Chiv Deraisa. Why? Because he picked something up outside and brings it inside to him. Where you have two more cases that are only the Rabbanan, where the person inside and outside both did the Avera, so only one did the Akir and one did the Anocha, where it's not a Chiv Deraisa. That's by Achnosa. And then you have a case like that by Hetzor, the same. Two cases of the Raisa and two cases of the Rabbanim. That's how Rashi learns here. Rashi, Masech to Shabbos, says the way to understand Bifnim and Bechutz is not Hoitzah, that the first case is Achnos and the second case is Hoitzah, but it's talking to the individual. Shtein Shen Arba Bifnim is talking to the person standing inside, that he could have four scenarios, two which he's Chayiv the Raisa because he did it all by himself, two is only the Rabbanim because he didn't do it by himself. The one Bechutz is talking about the one standing outside, that he could have two cases of the Raisa and two cases of the Rabbanim. Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos learns a different pshat. Shtayim Shen Arba Bifnim, where you could have two cases where you chayiv to bring a carbon if you did a bishogeg, because it's a Daraisa. You have chayiv Bifnim to go to Azor and bring a carbon. Shtayim Bechutz, where it's only part of Avos, so you won't have to bring a carbon. So ask the Gemara again. Tanan Hosom. Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shen Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shen Arba Bechutz. Ask the Gemara, Mashna Hoch, the Tan Shtayim Shen Arba. Our Mishnah, you only use the words Shtayim Shen Arba V'Suloi. U'mashna Hosom, the Tanish Shtayim Shen Arba V'Fnim, V'Shtayim Shen Arba V'Chutz. Why is that Mishnah so much more broader? Answers the Gemara. Hosom Dikki Shabbosu, there which the primary subject to learn Hilcha Shabbos, Tani Ovis V'Toldos. Hocha D'Lav Dikki Shabbosu, here we're not really going into all the Halachas of Shabbos, we're not learning the Sekhta Shabbos now. Ovis Tani, we only learn the Ovis Toldos Loi Tani. So ask the Rishonim, there's no Toldos in our Mishnah. We're going to learn the next sugya, Seis and Beharis, and they're Toldos. So why are we saying that they're no Toldos? So Rishonim answered, the Toldos of Seis and Beharis are different than all other Toldos in Shas. Because those are Toldos, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that are clearly mentioned in the Pasuk. Here the Gemara is saying Toldos that are not mentioned in the Torah are not included in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Ovis Maininu. What are the Ovis? As we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta, Yitzias. When you're carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah here means, that we're speaking about the Ovis, Yitzias, there are only two cases of Chiyiv. One for Ani and one for Asher. So why does Mishnah say Shtayim Shen Arba? Behichi Tema. And if you'll suggest that the way to understand our Mishnah is Mechen L'chiv, Mechen L'ptor, that the Mishnah is saying that the four cases of Aitzah, two it is a Chiv D'Raisa, when the person did it all by himself. Two it is only Chiv D'Rabbanan, when he did it together with somebody else. But as we learned in the previous year, V'dumi D'Maris G'daim K'tani, we have to be similar to the case of Maris Nagoim. And as we learned, Ma'hasim, all four Maris, Kul M'l'chayuvah, Avhacha Kul M'l'chayuvah. So how can we say Shtaim Shin Arba is talking about Aitzah, when two of the cases, there's no Chiv D'Raisa, it's only Chiv D'Rabbanan. El Amar Papa. Hasim D'Ikki Shabbos, there we were learning Masech the Shabbos, Tanei Chiyuvi Peturei, we're learning all cases. Cases that you're Chayim D'Raisa, and cases where you're not Chayim D'Raisa. Hacha, in our Masech the Chiyuvi Tanei, we're only speaking about Chiyuvim D'Raisa, two cases of Aitzah, two cases of Achnasa, Upturi Loi Tanei. Ask the Gemara, Chiyuvi Maininu, Yitzias. Tzias Tatu to have him, but there are only two cases of Yitzias. One for Ani, one for Asher. So where do we have the Shtaim Shin Arba? We have a Chiv D'Raisa. Answers the Gemara. Shtaim D'Aitzah and Shtaim D'Achnasa. Our Mishnah is talking about two cases where you see with the Chiv D'Raisa, one for Ani, one for Asher, and two cases of Achnasa, where you have one for Ani, one for Asher. Ask the Gemara, but our Mishnah is only speaking about Yitzias, not Achnasas. Because our Mishnah said Yitzias are Shabbos. The Yitzias K'tani. Omer of Ashi, responds of Ashi, Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Hachnasa Namet Tzara Karalei. The Mishnah calls the, when the Mishnah uses the word Yitzias, it's not limiting to a case of Rishus Ram to Rishus Yochit to Rishus Rabim, it includes the case of Rishus Ram to Rishus Yochit. And what's the Raya? Mimai, that the word Yitziah includes Hachnasa also, the Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, when it lists the Malachis, it speaks about Moitzi Meshus L'Shus, Chayiv. Now, Milay Eskinen, doesn't that Mishnah also refer to a situation, the Kama'ayel Ayulay, where you're bringing something from the Shusha Rabim to the Shusha Yochid. And still it's included when the Mishnah uses the word Haitzah. Ask the Gemara, who says to understand the Mishnah that way? Maybe to understand that Mishnah, but Dilma, maybe that Mishnah is strictly speaking about a case where Kama'apik Meshusha Yochid L'Shusha Rabim, but not Meshusha Rabim L'Shusha Yochid. That isn't an Av Melocha. Answers the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah meant, to speak specifically when you're taking from Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabim, not from Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yochid, in Cain, the Mishnah should have said, HaMotzi Mishusha Yochid to Shusha Rabim. Why does the Mishnah just say much generally, more generally, Rishus L'Shus, to teach us that Filim Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yochid, even in the case of Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yochid, is included in that Mishnah, and yet the Mishnah calls it Karelei Atzah. Why is there no difference between Atzah and Achnasah? If the Torah and the Pesukim that speak about it only speak about Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, the Tamamai, Tana Kolach here is Chavetz from Mekoymai, whenever you're moving an object from one Rishus to another Rishus, Chaitzah Karalei. It's called Chaitzah. Even though it's not only Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, even to Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yochid. So here we have a very interesting Machlokas Rishayim. The Ramban now says that our Gemara is telling us a very big Chiddush. Till now we always understood that Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim is the Av Malacha, Haitzah, and Achnos of Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid is a Toldah. Says the Ramban, what Al Gemara is now teaching us, is that Haitzah and Achnos are both the Raisis. Most Rishonim disagree. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that Haitzah, Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim is the Av, Achnos of Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid is the Toldah, and why is it mentioned? Because it's so similar. Amar Avina, continues the Gemara, Masnissan Namideka. We have arrived from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Yitzis HaShabbos, Shtayim Shnarba Befnim, Shtayim Shnarba Befut, and Bekarfash Achnasa. And Mishnah explains the case of Achnasa. So isn't that a raya that the word Yitzis doesn't only speak to Haitzah, it also speaks to Achnasa, Shmamina? Isn't that a great raya that the word Yitzis is not limited to Haitzah, Shishyachit Rishisarabim, but even Rishisaram Trishisayachit? Says Rava, that isn't conclusive. Because the way to understand it, it's not Tzias HaShabbos, we could say Rishuyis HaShabbos. Rishuyis HaShabbos, Shtayim, the two Rishuyis, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. But it isn't clear that the word Yitzia for itself speaks both to Haitzah and also Achnasah. Maris Nagoim, we learned in the Mishnah that the Maris Nagoim Shnayim Shin Arba. Says the Gemara Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Nagoim, Maris Nagoim Shnayim Shin Arba. There are four colors. What are the four colors? Beheres, When the Torah speaks about Beheretz, it's a Azak Shalak. It's snow white. Shniela, the second color, is Kesira Heichel, like the color white of the Beis HaMikdash. Se'es, that's the Tolda of Beheretz. Se'es is Ketzemer Lovin. It's like white wool. Shniela, what the Tolda of Se'es is Krumbeya, it's like the eggshell. Not the eggshell, but the membrane inside the eggshell, Seder Rishayim. So we identified what are the Avos and what are the Toldos. So Rishayim explained, why do we need to know what are the Avos and what are the Toldos? Because the halacha is that there's a shear on the size of a nega, the shear of a gris. Let's say you have two different colors. So if it's an Av and a Tolda, those two different colors could combine. But two Avos, or Av with something which is not its own Tolda, do not combine. And that's why our Gemara has to be very clear in identifying what are the Avos and what are the Toldos, and what combines and what doesn't combine.